I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hour number two of the program. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Watch some NFL highlights up on the old screen here. They're talking about the future of Mike McCarthy after a wild card loss. Doesn't matter what happens in Dallas. Doesn't matter when they lose in the playoffs. I mean, maybe if they'd have gotten to the NFC Championship game, people would have gone, what a great year for Mike McCarthy. But it does not matter. They throw it out there. There are certain teams. You were talking about this, how if you are the Cowboys, if you are a New York team in the NFL, you just get talked about and the league wants to know, what are you doing? Because you have a little bit of a different role than these other teams in the league. So we've got a lot to get through. We're going to have Ben Anderson, our Jazz insider, here at KSLSports.com and also a host of Jake and Ben every day from 10 to noon right here on the Zone Sports Network. I want to throw out a Utah Jazz, a couple of Utah Jazz. What are the odds here, Scott? What are the odds that the Utah Jazz make a trade that – actually makes a difference, something that actually makes a difference for the team when it comes to, you know, getting the help that they wanted, to getting the help that they want?
Well, apparently the Jazz do not have a lot of assets to trade with.
No, they don't.
So that makes it really challenging for them to really do a whole lot. And they made a commitment. I mean, they said, hey, we're doubling down. We're going to stick with the team we have. And maybe they had to stick with the team they have because – it's kind of the options they had at that time. Maybe there's something out there. I'm sure that the Jazz are trying to find – you always have to do this. You always have to look to improve your team. I think every team, or at least most of them, try to do that. It's just the limitations of what's out there that would fit and make sense, and also could the Jazz do it. So I think it's probably pretty low that they'll find something that works and fits.
Like that'll be, you know,
trade. Yeah, I think the Jazz, probably the likelihood of making a trade might be higher opposed to something that'll actually work.
If the Jazz,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
33%. Yeah. I like it. If the Jazz go four out of their next five, like if they lose, like if they split with the Suns and they beat the Warriors, you know, maybe they beat the Warriors on that first night, then they on the back-to-back they lose to the Suns, but then they beat them on that second game of that Suns, you know, that Warriors-Suns-Suns, you know, stretch that they're going to have. By the end of it, though, your attitude will change totally. You'll go, no, this is the team. This is the roster that they needed. They don't need to make these big changes. But whatever big changes may or may not be available for the Jazz, I mean, Danny Ainge has probably already figured it out. Danny Ainge probably already asked all those questions. Not that they've gotten the trade done, but I don't think that you're going to change minds of anybody. I think everybody knows that you're going to be able to improve your defense somehow. It might not necessarily be the big name, but Jordan Clarkson wasn't a huge name when he came in here, right?
No.
People were – I don't think people –
kind of like, yeah, okay,
I don't think people thought to themselves, yeah, he'll likely be the NBA sixth man of the year, you know, in the next 18 months.
I think that's what you hope for is they make a trade and hopefully they find lightning in a bottle and it works. You know what's shocking to me, though?
What?
This isn't a what are the odds or anything, but how about Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, no one's really – I mean, this is a guy. If I'm a quarterback, I'm ticked.
What do you mean? No one gives you the respect?
If I'm Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's the Rodney Dangerfield of quarterbacks in the NFL.
You know, Jimmy's our guy right now. but you know, we're getting ready to get rid of him. And
beat the Cowboys at home. Yeah, at their place.
Yes. I mean, I don't care what you say. Winning in the playoffs on the road against quality opponents.
Yeah.
That's a big
deal.
It
goes for something.
And people are, it's like, and here's a guy. All I say is good for Jimmy Garoppolo, really, to just be really professional about things, go about his business, not get overly affected by because you know he hears all of that stuff, and I would hate to be in an organization where they just go, yeah, we don't.
See, I just assume
we don't
guys,
really think very much of you.
See, I just assume, and whether it's Rudy and Donovan, you know. Talking to their teammates through the media or whatever, or whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo hearing that noise, then I go, these guys' egos are helping protect them a little bit. Now they can also be massively fragile because of those egos, but you know Jimmy Garoppolo hearing that stuff, I'm convinced he doesn't believe one word of it because he goes, I just beat the Cowboys, man, at their place, and Rudy goes, you guys just lost four games without me, you know, so you guys totally need me. All right, let's jump out to the phone line here. Ben Anderson, host of Jake and Ben, 10 to noon right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Also, our Jazz Insider at KSLSports.com joining us on the program. What's going on, Ben?
How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic. Got the Jazz and Rockets tonight, and as the preparations here at the arena are underway, what's this game look like? What does the next handful of games look like? Obviously, this weekend is of much interest to a lot of Jazz fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think these next two games have to be about, A, making sure, you know, Donovan Mitchell's okay or the team's okay outside of Donovan Mitchell if he's not able to play, and we'll see what the concussion protocol ends up dictating for him. And then you want to make sure everyone's really kind of healthy and back from COVID protocols, including Hassan Whiteside, who won't be out there tonight. You want to make sure Rudy Gay is 100%. He's dealing with heel soreness. You just want to make sure you've kind of cleaned up some of your issues over the last week, which are, you know, widespread. But you want to make sure you're healthy going into this weekend because, like you said, next week, I mean, the four games against the top three teams in the Western Conference and Phoenix, Golden State, and Memphis, it's going to be tough, and you really don't want to leave those games without a couple of victories.
Is there a concern then to make yourself, you know, ready for those games to overlook Houston and Detroit in the next couple of games?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Jazz are showing they're really susceptible to letdowns and to losing games that they probably shouldn't be losing. You know, you blow a 22-point lead on the road at Detroit. Clearly, they let down. Now, I know that they had, you know, they didn't have Rudy Gobert and they didn't have all the players that they needed to win that game. But still, you were up 22 against a really terrible team and you didn't find a way to close it out. And then, you know, the Lakers are pretty terrible, too. And you were up 6 going into the fourth quarter. And again, you just dropped the ball. You didn't execute down the stretch. You didn't get the shots to fall that you needed to. And when that happened, you lost that game. So the Jazz absolutely could start to look forward to Golden State and Phoenix and fall apart against a Houston or against a Detroit again coming up on Friday. So this is I'm not even thinking about next week, even though I know Jazz fans are going to be doing that naturally. If I'm a player on this team right now, you got to get back in the win column pretty desperately.
Ben, can you just say that one little part about the Lakers not being a very good team? Can you just say that?
I think everybody kind of gets that. Yeah, that's great.
That's kind of nice to hear that.
It's certainly when you're that's not the team you have to worry about in the West. I mean, Rudy brought him up by name. It's the Suns and the Warriors who he's like, you know, we're not playing like them right now. And I think that those comments, you know, I think that was something we asked Gordy Chiesa about yesterday. And he said, I don't like those comments happening in public. You do those in the locker room. You do them on the floor. And everybody's kind of looking around going, hey, the Jazz are asked about this stuff. And I know that Donovan, was it you that asked the question that that he kind of did the whole, I'm going to stop you right there. And I'm going to say, I don't know why you guys talk about losses so much when we're losing.
Yeah, it was. And I was asking him about, you know, maybe the idea of wanting to play in a bigger market, which was the report of ESPN. And I'm sure it felt like everyone was piling on. But, yeah, you know, when Rudy Gobert says something about the team needing to play better and kind of points to other teams that have good perimeter defenders, that obviously feels like he's talking about his teammates not playing well enough. And then we really hadn't had a chance to talk to him about that ESPN report that he may want to play in a bigger market, or at least there's belief around the league that that could be the case. So I understood why it felt like it was piling on, but you know what? No one's asking whether or not Giannis Antetokounmpo wants to leave Milwaukee anymore because he just won a championship there. But that was his doing. You know, you can say the front office did a nice job putting players around him, and they did because he had Drew Holiday. But did anyone think that Drew Holiday and Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton were, you know, keys to a championship team before Giannis carried them there? You know, if you don't want to have some of those questions asked, be a championship level team, and that ultimately ends up on the talent on the roster.
Speaking of moves, the trade deadline is coming up soon. What do the Jazz do anything, or what can they do? What should they do?
Do they have enough assets to do anything, I guess?
I think they do, but you're giving up a player, which is hard. You know, ideally, when we're talking about assets, we're talking about first-round draft picks, second-round draft picks of value. But you say, yeah, you'll move on from those because you don't need to necessarily get younger in your championship window, and because you do that, you know, that allows you to improve your team without giving up any players. And that's the ideal way to do it, but the Jazz have already done that. I mean, that's how they got Mike Conley. That's how they've gotten some of these players on their roster, or they've given up first-round picks, you know, to get out of bad contracts that they've signed, like Derek Favors. So that's difficult. If you're going to make a move, it's going to have to include a player. And you know, they do. They do probably need to make a move. I don't think they're as good as Golden State. I don't think they're as good as the Phoenix Suns right now. So if they're serious about coming out of the West, they need to shore up some of their issues, and some of those issues are on the defensive side of the ball. And the good news is they have a ton of talent on the offensive side, and that is a premium for some teams. The Jazz are the best offense in the NBA because they have a wealth of talent at those spots. So if you want to improve your defense and then make it more legitimate with a player like, you know, just throwing out a name, a Marcus Smart or somebody like that that could be available out of Boston, you're going to need to send some offense their way. So but you do have options. There are players that could probably help you that are going to be traded before the deadline or available before the deadline. But you're not going to get him for nothing. You're going to have to give up a player.
Is Ben Simmons an option?
It's honestly, I mean, no. In all realism, because the Jazz don't have the pieces to give up to get a guy like Ben Simmons, unless you were going to trade, you know, Mike Conley in a first round pick, which I don't think you have an interest in doing because you're so predicated on needing the shooting, and having a guy like Rudy Gobert and Ben Simmons on the floor at the same time would probably hurt some of the Jazz facing. But, I have a hard time thinking that if Ben Simmons was on this roster, the Jazz wouldn't necessarily be better. And that's not me advocating at all to trade Mike Conley for Ben Simmons. I don't want that to get misconstrued. That's not the case in any stretch of the imagination. It's just, you know, Ben Simmons, as goofy as he's been in Philadelphia, I believe he's going to help wherever he lands. He's going to help that team play better.
Ben, tonight marks the 1,000th broadcast for David Locke on the Utah Jazz Radio Network. As one of his former esteemed, an alumni group of folks who've been David Locke interns that you're a part of. I think that give us a David Locke story that people may have not heard that's appropriate for the air.
Oh my God! You know, I was on with. I didn't have him very long. Okay, I'll tell you one, and it's probably not technically appropriate, but I don't know what the statute of limitations is, so I don't think he can get in trouble for it.
Go ahead. Go right ahead, Ben.
So I was actually he has like 10 interns a year now. He has a bunch of broadcast interns now. But when I was doing it, there was only 3 spots available. So it was me and Jake Hatch, who obviously produces DJ and PK right. In the mornings and does, you know, Locked on Cougars. But and we had one other girl, Mackenzie, who was with us too. But technically, you either were supposed to be getting paid for an internship or you were supposed to be getting college credit. You can't just have people working for free. That's really not how internships
work.
That's
the rule, yes.
Well, I had already graduated from the University of Utah, and they certainly weren't paying me. I promise you that when I was an intern. And I interviewed with Locke, and he said, well, we can't pay you, and you're not getting school credit, so we can't hire you. I'll call you tomorrow officially and let you know that we can't hire you. So he called me the next day and said, I can't hire you, but I haven't hired my final spot yet. I'll call you tomorrow and let me know. We'll let you know who we fill the job with, but it's not going to be you. And then he called me the next day and repeated that story, and I said, okay. And then he finally called me. I think I interviewed on a Friday. I think by the next Friday he called me and said, all right, you're my broadcast intern, but you really can't tell anybody that we're not paying you and you're not getting school credit. So it was pretty lucky of me that I got taken advantage of, but I will tell you what, the whatever 50 games or 40 games I worked during the lockout season have honestly been valuable for my life and my career. So it was a gamble for him and for me, but it certainly paid off for me better.
All of us at some point did a free internship that we for sure should have been paid for. Mine happened to be for 1280 The Zone. So I think we all kind of have this, and what's funny is that things have sort of shifted a little bit more. And to Bonneville's credit, once we get interns back in the building again, I think we're going to start paying people, which is wild.
The next year.
I know.
The next year they started paying locked interns.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Where's my money?
I know. Is there some back pay for when I was like going out and getting bagels and donuts for DJ and PK's show in the morning? I mean, come on, let's get something going on here. But all of us said,
if it's worth anything, we'll take you to lunch, Ben.
Yeah,
you know, just to kind of ease your pain a little bit. Sure,
you know, Scott is
your choice too.
Scott never had to work for free at any point in his career.
Yes,
maybe as the football player.
You just
in college,
roll off the truck and you just it's like it's hard.
You work hard.
Yeah. There's a lot of time you work for free. Trust
I think
me.
It's pretty insane to think now that we've come to 1,000 broadcasts with David Locke, the voice of the Utah Jazz, because that just means that that 1,000 broadcasts without Hot Rod Hundley, that seems insane not to have the voice of that classic voice of the Jazz that has spent 1,000 games, and now David Locke has become that classic voice. So,
I wrote the story about him today, and I looked back and I thought, you know, there has to be a lot of players who have played 1,000 games for the Jazz historically. It's only John and Carl. You know, like he's been here longer than any other player that's ever played 1,000 games. Now, of course, Ron Boone's been here since 1988, and Jerry Sloan was around for so long.
Sure.
And of course, the there's been longevity. Bowler has been on the television side for a long time. But yeah, it's not insignificant. 12 years in that job, it's a hard job to get. It's a hard job to hold on to.
It's
pretty significant.
It's a hard job to do year in, year out, day in and day out. But if there's somebody who can do it, it's David Locke. So Ben Anderson, Jake and Ben, you can hear him every day right here on your dial, 10 to noon. And then, of course, read his byline there at KSLSports.com. Ben, thanks for hanging out, man. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, there you go. I'm looking up on the screen right now. Scott, and Bruce Arians is up on the screen. Did you see that moment where he smacked one of his defenders for getting in a play?
He got fined.
Got $50,000 fine for it. As soon as it happened, I went, uh-oh, this doesn't look good, because it was like an open hand smack of the helmet, and it looked like a little bit enough out of control. First of all, it was the thing that Jimmy Lake ended up getting fired for. I mean, Jimmy Lake, of course, losing football games doesn't help either, but Jimmy Lake was like the model of a – think about when we go to Pac-12 Media Days and people are like, dude, the talk of this place is Jimmy Lake because he's this smart, young, like up-and-coming coach, and here he is with no job now. And Bruce Arians is 100 years old and smacked the guy in the helmet. Listen, how many times were you smacked on your helmet? And you were the best player on pretty much every team you ever played on growing up.
Well, that's what I'm trying to think here. Like,
I got hit in the helmet.
I never got hit in the helmet.
Well, I know, because you weren't on the offensive line or defensive line.
Right.
You were the quarterback. Yeah. You couldn't afford it. I was getting hit in the head
Coach Shula didn't go around banging people on their
helmets.
But
he was mean, though, wasn't he?
Oh, he scared the dickens out of you.
See, I just think about – and I'm not trying to say that it's a rite of passage by any means, but what I'm saying is that we got hit. I got hit. You remember that? You know how loud it is to get hit on the head on a helmet. And the coach's wedding ring, when they'd smack your helmet,
actually,
and that wedding ring would hit the top of your helmet, like you'd hear that thing for weeks, man.
Guys would take off their chin strap,
and they'd whack,
and
yes,
they'd hit you with the little
bead of metal on there, that button.
Yeah, the little button.
And it was a bad day because he had two of them most of the time on there. So
that's
hazing.
That was
right
loud.
There. Yeah, you don't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing Locke's done 1,000 games? Congrats to Locke, man. That's awesome. That's a guy who I heard first in Seattle. I heard his voice up in Seattle calling those games for a minute up there at the Supersonics. So
when you have a distinct voice, and that's what he has, and it's one of those things. You know, it's not something that's forgettable, and I think there's a level of comfort people have with a distinct voice, and they're those iconic voices from, Hot Rod Hundley. He was a voice of the Jet, and he was he was, you know, he was one of those iconic voices. And David Locke's that same kind of.
You think about here locally.
Area. You know, you turn on the radio and you know that that's Utah Jazz basketball and that's David Locke.
And there's an amount of energy that goes into, it's a job that a lot of people say that they could, that they, is their dream gig. And I'm just telling you, it's hard. I mean, I think about, I worked under Greg Wrubell for a long time.
I'm on the radio. No, I mean calling games, and it's really
it's
hard.
A hustle.
It's like you have a very short window.
Bill Riley's one of those guys too. Yeah. There's just like, and the guy does Real Salt Lake and
basketball and
basketball
football.
And football. Yeah. And Greg Wrubell's the same way, basketball and football. And just there's an amount of energy. Yeah. There's a certain personality type that has to have. It's got to be somebody who doesn't take a day off, and that's those guys. So, and Locke certainly is in that camp. All right, let's take a break here. We come back. Oh, man, we got a lot to go still on the program. I still have some things I want to bring up from, we were just doing our What Are the Odds, and I keep thinking to myself, man, we got to get back into some of those. But we've got a lot of stuff we got to get into as well. So stay right here with us. More to go. Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.